The next two presentations will be delivered by Dr. Muhlenberg. Dr. Muhlenberg has extensive experience in substance use and treatment in vulnerable populations. She is an associate professor in the College of Public Health at the University of Georgia. She's received funding from the National Institute on Drug Abuse to investigate the prevalence of tobacco cessation programs in drug and alcohol treatment facilities.
Hi. Today I will be having the challenge of presenting my students' data who defended a year and a half ago. As you know, for APHA, we submit in January and you end up basically presenting in November. So unfortunately, she was not able to make it, so I am stepping in, and I will answer your questions as best that I can. Today I will be combining the slides, actually. So I'll go through the presentation and then go through the results of the next study, because it is the same work. So we'll be looking at an overview of substance use and protective factors in rural adolescents. So drug use rates vary over time by geographic area. If you think about rural drug use, we see underage drinking is elevated, tobacco use is elevated, smokeless tobacco use is elevated, and illegal drug use, particularly with methamphetamines, is on the rise, and prescription pills as well. Drinking and driving is elevated, and binge drinking is elevated. So rural communities have different cultural and contextual factors, and drinking and substance use is a part of social norms. So heavy drinking is tolerated. I did not grow up in a rural area, but I have family who did, and there were people who would drink at home with their parents, and it was very normal. Rural areas lack funds, infrastructure, and personnel to implement programs and provide treatment. So there's not a built infrastructure in place oftentimes. Rural areas have a take care of our own mentality, and that hinders successful implementation of products. That's why a grassroots or community-based participatory research is very important in rural areas. And it also, particularly in Georgia, we have a very diverse population. And also, national substance use initiatives and drug prevention strategies may not apply. Small rural towns often lack the resources for implementation. Again, take care of our own, rely heavily on friends and family, and larger support networks from friends and family members. I personally do work with social networking, and rural areas actually have higher, that's how they network a lot, is through social networking, and so the ties are very tight in rural areas. And small populations in rural areas come together. Again, that's why that grassroots or community participatory research is so important in rural areas. Rural youth living in the United States have 9.4% fewer school protective factors compared to students living in towns or cities. The school is the place where everyone goes. You know, even if there's a dropout rate, the schools are really what connects the community. If you think about rural areas and Friday Night Lights and football and sports and church, so in Georgia, that's what it is. That's what keeps everyone together. So the school level protectors are a key factor in decreasing adolescent substance use. So the present research will examine if school connectedness in rural areas is a protective factor for substance use, or if lack of resources and opportunities for these students in the areas decrease the protective effect. So Dr. Proctor used four different theories in developing this study. She used a social ecological framework to guide the study and used multiple factors. So for Jester's problem behavior theory, she used the theory to show how constructs and problem behaviors hang together. Systems within this problem behavior theory include the factors from individual, family, and peer, school, and community levels. And then constructs from theory of planned behavior were examined to strengthen the influence of beliefs and behaviors in terms of understanding the norms and what makes people decide, attitudes of motivation to comply, that type of thing. And then self-efficacy in established relationships and school connectedness and drug use. And then constructs from the social disorganizational theory were examined for protective effects in the small towns. So here is the conceptual model. And basically, as you can see, there are constructs within each level of the social ecological model framework. Each of these constructs are associated with substance use and or school connectedness. The constructs are hypothesized to have a direct effect with school connectedness and the substance use. We also investigated demographic factors. So the setting and population, there were three schools that took a qualitative survey. Two of the schools were from these districts were middle and high schools serving the 6th through 12th grade. It was a convened sample, so who was ever at the school took the survey. And the population density was less than 50 people per square mile. The adolescents in these rural areas had reduced access to resources due to the demographic characteristics, the family and geographic context. And it was a highly isolated area. So these are a little bit of the demographics of the three counties where the schools were located. So a lower Hispanic population than I anticipated finding, and so median household and children available on free lunch. So this is the local grocery store. This is just to put some of it in context. Very, very small. This is their town street. So not a lot of economic development within the counties. And again, there's not a lot of growth in these areas, so not a lot of resources. So some more towns, and it is primarily agricultural. So this is where people are earning a living. And then abandoned homes. So the data collection was a paper and pencil survey, and the teachers received instructions on how to administer the survey. They were done during homeroom or a PE class. Teachers read the instructions to the class and offered them a chance to opt out. 4 weeks before the survey was administered, a letter was sent home to the parents and guardians outlining the purpose of the study. The letter served as a consent form for the parents and guardian, providing them an opportunity to notify the school if they did not want the student to participate in the survey. There were no individual identifiers on the surveys, and the students were reminded that it was anonymous. So there were 3,000 surveys that were sent out. There were 3,000 students in the schools, and the analysis for this part of the study only included 1,500. The data was not put in time for, so 1,500 is what we are working with here. So about 400 students were either absent from school on the day or the survey or chose to turn in a blank survey. So we have, so when we get the boxes back, we know how many were put out, and then we are able to count how many students refused. 41 students could not participate because their parents opted out. Of the around 1,059 that completed the survey, 46 cases were excluded from SEM analysis because they were missing cases from the predictors, and M plus automatically dropped them. Males were the majority of the student participants, and white, Caucasian, they identified mostly as, again, lower Hispanic, and most were 15 years old, so you can see that there's a drop-off here. So, not surprising. And then most lived with both parents, and people lived on a country but not in the farm and in a city, town, or suburb. So they would consider that town is where they live. So if we look at the results of the substance use, I am a tobacco researcher, so this to me was really, really low, this cigarette use. be expected. And the marijuana use to me was pretty high. I mean, higher than cigarette use. So that's the trend as well now. And then the illegal drug use is much lower than I expected as well. So if you compare it to the national rates, cigarette use and smokeless tobacco were significantly higher in this sample. And every use of alcohol was higher for all grades, and every use of marijuana was higher for 12th graders. So I always see higher numbers than that, but that's what, when comparing it to the other national rates. So elevated rates of alcohol and tobacco use compared to national rates, and then whites are more likely to smoke cigarettes and use smokeless tobacco compared to African Americans, and males were more likely to smoke cigarettes and use smokeless tobacco compared to females, and males were more likely to be ever users of marijuana when compared to females. So if we looked at it in terms of contextual factors that significantly decreased drug initiation included school connectedness. So we were happy that Dr. Proctor was able to find that. Religion, refusal efficacy, social norms, and community safety. So understanding the causal pathways of different contextual factors are important, and looking at theoretical models to guide interventions and anti-drug programs are important for rural communities. We need to address elevated rates of tobacco and alcohol use in rural towns, and in my opinion, marijuana, and changing social norms, increasing refusal efficacy, and implementing programs in the school and community could decrease adolescent substance use.